And I feel that I'm handling the most precious thing that any of us as human beings can handle and can try and get our heads around. And it's not possible to understand this. Someone once wrote, I believe so I can understand. And with this that we're handling tonight, it's so precious and so vast that we have to believe. And I'm not even sure if we believe we can really fully understand. It's that precious. And it is the nature of Jesus. So why is this important? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who, look, we're in his hands, right? The nature of Christ means that we're in his hands. We are completely dependent upon him. Our faith is dependent upon him, and our hope is dependent upon him. In Revelations, it says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is everything, and he is everything to us. If we understand, if we believe, then he is everything to us. And that is the nature of Christ. So, I've got a little, I don't normally do this sort of thing, but let's try it. So, some people believe you've got God and you've got man. And the two are sort of completely separate. And in their thinking, and when they think about Jesus, or where they try to understand Jesus and God, they think of them as two separate entities. And I guess the majority of the world thinks like that. Then some people will do this and go this far. Let's hope this works. All right. So in the one person, you have man and God, but they're still separate. They're still separate. And people have believed that all sorts of things, that Jesus didn't die on the cross, that his bodily form died, but his the real Jesus went and lived in India, I think there was one thing. And so I guess many people could almost go along with that, couldn't they? That there was, okay, somehow God came and he was still God, and somehow he was, you know, but they're separate. That's not what Christians believe. That's not what our hope is. That's not good enough for God. So, what is good enough for God? In the sense that he has given us so much, this precious thing. And that is this. So you've got man, and you've got God. And they're inseparable. They're one. Fully man, fully God. And that's Jesus. Fully man, fully God. Not separate at all, but fully man and fully God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is this concept that God could be man, which is essential to our hope and essential to our faith. And it's the greatest thing that God has ever done. Look, there's no point in sort of saying, oh, well, there's Easter, and, you know, comparing the two and saying one is more important than the other. That's just pointless, childish. But the incarnation, and that's what the birth, and that's why we sang, "Oh, come, all ye faithful," is about God taking on flesh, God taking on a bodily form. That's what the word incarnation means, and that's what we're going to look at. And that has to be the greatest thing that has ever occurred, And it is the measure of the love that God has for you and me. That he would become a child, that he would become a baby, that he would take all on board the, you know, the joy, but also the horror of being human, you know? The horror of being human, wet nappies, crying, anger, emotions, hormones, goodness knows what. He took all that on. And that is the wonder, that is the glory of God, and that is the measure of his love for you. Because if he didn't do that, we'd be lost. So that's what I'm going to look at, we're going to look together at now. There is one verse and the one chapter which the Anglican Church always reads out every Christmas day. And I thought, well, let's give it a go then. And that's in that's John chapter 1. Verse, anyone who comes to the Bible study, no, I keep getting the wrong gospel. So it's John chapter 1 and it's 1 to 14. So please bear with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We're talking about Jesus now. Jesus is the Word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the two key verses here are the first and the last one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So Jesus has been eternal right from the start, part of God, with God. And then the Word became flesh, and this is what we celebrate at Christmas, the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was with God in eternity, and he made the earth, and then he came as a child. You know, you're nursing that child. Jesus experienced the same sleepless nights, no doubt, and no doubt did his parents as well, and all the gripes that a child goes through. All of that he experienced, but he was God as well. He didn't have to. This is quite a touchstone thing in Christianity. And in 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." It's the touchstone, the understanding or belief, I should say, that Jesus is God is the touchstone of Christianity. And from that flows so much about the efficacy, the effectiveness, if you like, of what he did on the cross. Because he was God, he was not man. Or he was not man alone, he was God, fully man. So let's have a look at Romans 8. If only I could find it. I'd be a biblical scholar. Right. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No one will condemn you if you're in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So because of Jesus, and I think we've understood this, that somehow we get forgiven, or the chance to be forgiven. We get the chance to live eternally. But the only thing that makes it effective is the nature of Christ. Now you might say to me, well, why when he was on earth didn't we just sort of, why didn't people recognize him? Why didn't, why didn't he just sort of, everyone become a Christian? And one of the reasons is because he did lay something aside. Nothing of his deity, nothing of his power, although he may well not have accessed all that he had, but one of the things, that the only thing really that he did lay aside was this. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. He laid aside his glory. And some of our songs say that, don't they? He laid aside his majesty, etc. So he laid aside his glory. Otherwise, if he brought that with him, everyone would have instantly have understood who he was, and the relationship would have been totally different. So he laid aside his outward glory. But that's all. Everything else, he was fully God while on earth. Let me remind you, while we've been singing our Christmas carols, right, which Christmas carol does this come from? He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Anyone get that one? Yes, well done, Teresa, once in Royal David City. We sing these things all the time. I picked this up from our last carol service. How about this one? My favorite carol. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Silent Night. Right. You're on the ball tonight. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Yes. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh. The Godhead, see, hail the incarnate, that is God in flesh, deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, our God with us. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. And the last one, you'll all get this, no doubt. God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created. Oh, come, Holy Faithful, you just sang it. So you've sung you've sung tonight, and obviously any Christmas carol, almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them, sort of reference the idea that God came as a child and was born as a baby and was this. That's what we've sung tonight, that's what we've all sung, and it is a theme that runs right throughout the Christmas story, obviously, and wider as well. How about love divine or love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, and light of the world you step down into darkness, king of all days so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to earth, you created all for love's sake, became poor. And so there's this constant theme throughout Christianity of this idea of God being fully man in Jesus and also fully God. So why is it important? that we believe, that we and seek to understand. Because Christians have seen this as a key thing throughout history for the last 2,000 years. Just about every creed that ever been written, and we're looking at the Nicene Creed together over the next few weeks, and all the other creeds, they talk about this idea, this belief, this fact of God coming to earth and becoming fully man and fully God in Jesus. There was one guy, a 14th century bishop called Cyril of Jerusalem. I didn't know there were any famous Cyrils. Anyone know any Cyrils? Can you imagine them being famous? I certainly can't. Anyway, if the incarnation was a figment, then so was our salvation. And that gets to the nub of it, really. If the incarnation, if Christ not being fully God and fully man, if that's a myth, if that's a fiction, if that's a vain belief, we are absolutely lost. This whole idea of Christianity is lost because, as we'll see, only he was good enough to pay the price of sin. Do you remember where that comes from? There is a green hill, yes, absolutely. There is a green hill far away. Only he was good enough. And it's very clear in scriptures. Let me just read the Nicene Creed because someone commented last. I know I sent it out on email, but not everyone has email, I guess. So I'm going to read the Nicene Creed. This is 1,700 years old, and it was predated by other ones as well, which says more or less the same thing. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate, God made flesh, from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. I won't read the rest, but it's not long. If anyone wants a copy, I'm more than happy for them to have a look at that. But that's what all the creeds say, because everyone who looked at it and understood, they understood that it was essential that it was God who made the difference. Okay, right. Because it makes that sacrifice, that huge, incredible sacrifice of love on the cross, it makes that effective. You know, because in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if Jesus was just a man, then he too sinned and fell short of the glory of God. He couldn't save himself. However good he was, he couldn't save himself, let alone you and me. Think of the nicest person this year, Jane. Let's say Jane is the loveliest person that goes to Gateway, and she probably is, let's be fair. See, she's so humble and modest as well. It's incredible. But let's say, let's create this fiction that Jane is the loveliest person in Caerphilly, right? In Wales, in fact. Let's go that far. And we could choose anyone. Let's say Jane. Right, okay then. So Jane can't even save herself. She could come to me and say, Alan, don't worry, I'll go to God and say, you know, I'm a lovely person. Forgive Alan as well his sins, or let him come in as well, because, you know, I'm such a lovely person. I'm sorry, Jane. I'm such a lovely person. He should come in as well because I really like Alan. It's not going to work, is it? You know that. You know that in your heart. That's not going to work. You know that you are not worthy. And you know no one that is. And the truth is, Jesus, if he was man, was also not worthy. He couldn't save himself before God, let alone anyone else, and certainly not the millions and millions and millions of people that the church has and Christ has touched and the Holy Spirit has brought into the kingdom over the last 2,000 years. But thank God, we're not dependent on the man Christ Jesus. We're dependent upon Jesus Christ being fully man and fully God. So there was no sin because he was fully God as well as fully man. And that's what makes the cross and all the suffering and sacrifice and the love that that God had for us efficacious, worthy, acceptable to God. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. As I said, there is a green whale far away said. But look, some of you might struggle with this idea of healing. Some of you might struggle with this weird idea of speaking in tongues. Some of you might struggle with this idea of Jesus being able to raise the dead. Or even more remarkable for the day, if you think about it, forgive sins. He forgave people their sins while he was on earth. He walked on water. He fed thousands. These are miracles which a man cannot do. However good he is, however righteous, however much he fasts and prays and seeks God, not possible. Not possible. And yet, once you believe that one thing, that Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, the rest becomes understandable. Because why wouldn't God heal people? Why wouldn't God have the right to forgive sins? Why wouldn't God raise the dead? Why wouldn't he created the world? Why wouldn't he feed 5,000 people? But only, it only becomes sense to me anyway, if we understand that one thing, that he wasn't just a man, that he was and is God. The rest, otherwise, I don't think is believable. I certainly wouldn't believe it. Jesus is a bridge. Jesus is the bridge that takes man onto a spiritual realm, onto eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Okay. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man was from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of heaven, or of earth, sorry. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, that is, we were men and women of the flesh, of the same race as Adam, of the earth, if you like, just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Only if he is the man from heaven will our futures, our eternity be guaranteed. Only if he is God does, as I said, all this make sense. We were alienated from God. We were, I might as well read it. I've got it down. Right. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. I'll put these on the WhatsApp, the references. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to prevent you, to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So that's our joy. That is what Christ, that's the bridge, the gap, if you like, that Christ has created for us. That because he was of heaven, because he's eternal, because he's spiritual, when we accept him, when we believe in him, when we become born again, as it's called, of the Holy Spirit, that bridge between that takes us from earth to heaven happens. We become like him in some way. we become his imprint somehow, and that guarantees our future. That guarantees our present as well. Okay, we're coming to the end now. There's been a lot of verses, I know, so I apologize for that. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This is the point of it. This is the nub of the argument. This is the reason that God became flesh and lived amongst us and died on the cross. I'll read it again. For you know the grace, that's the unmerited favor of God. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in heaven, he was God, yet for your sakes and my sake, he became poor. He became a man. He became like that little baby there. He became poor. He gave up heaven for us. So that through his poverty, you might become rich. Through his poverty, you might become rich. And that is the purpose of it all. That's the point of it all. We couldn't do it without him, but we could do it with him. And he can achieve for us. Okay, this is the last reading, and then I'll end. And it's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Yet was without sin. And because of that sinlessness, which only could come because of the strength of God, that's why it's effective. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we can confidently approach the throne. We can confidently go to God the Father and say, look, we are here because of your Son and what he did, because he was from heaven, because he left his DNA via the Holy Spirit in us when we believed in him. And God the Father will accept us because of his Son. So it's essential that we believe that Jesus is God. And from that flows all the other stuff. The atonement, that is the efficacy of the cross, the work of the Holy Spirit through us and in us now, the work of the kingdom in us now, the joy. Perhaps that's a sign that I should finish. What do you think? I think so. I'll just end with really what I started. Fully God, fully man. Thank God.